know that Honourable Harris was returning at some point, if you recall, at he said at 2, but we want to make the start. And then Honourable Smalley is here, and Rossini, Corbata. Where's Honourable Solano? He was here a moment ago. He is around, though. Yes, and Coxey, Honourable Coxey. All right, so perhaps the 1, 2, 3, 4 of us here. What we're going to do right now is just to continue where we left off, which was, I thought, on page 23. I could be wrong. Is it page 23?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, right. We were talking about the author at that point, and I think, Honourable Linda Merriwa, that's when we just had the intervention well-timed from yourself. And our decision, of course, is let's consider that perhaps this evening. Would this still be in line with how you saw the progress, Honourable Linda Merriwa? Right, okay. So we then move on into the section here, derivative indigenous work, and then indigenous work and indigenous work. And we come again with the addition of all juristic persons. Do we see that at the bottom of page 23? Let me just get out your copy here as well. I know you are looking at it. Page 24. Community protocol. We've been through this point about the protocol, haven't we? And I don't know if that was a hand at this point, Honourable Van der Merwe, but it is a part of
the chair that we were getting into the area where we will find a lot of replicated clauses, you know, and I would guess that we should just identify where there's a difference in the clause and check it rather than go through, because I mean, for example, we've already agreed that line 2 of that particular clause establishes the wrong word to use. So that will flow from other correction. So in the ones that are absolute replicas, we actually don't need to.
Well, some of us will just put a tick across those for the moment, acknowledging that we still have a query there. Page 25. Derivative indigenous work again. Although in this area, I'm not sure if that's the same as elsewhere, where it refers to and the substantial part. The working group would be more familiar with that than the rest of us. That's on page 25. And then we come to bottom here, 25, indigenous community. Again, indigenous community. Yes, Honourable Van der Merwe.
Yeah, I just wanted to, because I'm not sure where it fits in, but as we discussed, I'm going to cross-reference some of the outstanding issues. And I think we need to say here for the record that the point number 4 on our list of decisions that the committee needs to take relates to the term hereditary and derivative. Now, you know, we had quite a discussion about that because there were different views from the experts, but we settled on in the redraft, and I need Charmaine and Johan to correct me if I'm wrong, that we will talk about hereditary and derivative. And then obviously all these references as on page 25, derivative indigenous work relates to what we have discussed are the correct terms or are the appropriate terms for the piece of legislation. Are we keeping an eye on that?
I think we decided in the working group to take it here, of course, but that we would shy away from here, from the word hereditary, and it would be substituted with indigenous. So wherever we had hereditary and derivative, it would now be indigenous and derivative.
I think it's just as well for you also to watch the pages, etc., so that we can be alerted to that. Because you're saying, in your opinion, it's gone through the straight substitution, if you like. Okay. Honourable Smaller?
Thank you, Chair. I'd just would like to refer you to page 25 ahead, in the blue. Because I also saw this now, also for the first time. I just would like to understand it's the second part of point, it actually goes into sentence that just follows to page 26. And it says, characterized by the occupation and use of a specific territory. And I just, that's where I would just want to pause. Does that mean that that community has got to be in that specific area? And what, and if so, what happens if a community somehow relocates at another point of time or at a time has relocated? Just assist me in that complete, just more to understand it. Thank you.
Just for the advocate's there, it's not that it hasn't been seen before, but I think Honourable Smaller is saying just notice the aspect of it.
There is a clarification.
Yes. So if you could just respond.
Thank you, Jim. Maybe from the Rata's side, the request that this be put to the expert, Dr. Lana von Braun, is this definition is her wording coming from her. Having taken into account the problems that were stated, and I think specifically because this question about specific territory speaks to the geographic area as well, and that concern. And I think that maybe it would be best if she explains what she intended with this, and then the committee can decide if that wording is in fact correct.
Okay, so that's really asking us to hang on for the experts there.
Make the point again. This is the identical one to page.
Now we've already acknowledged that.
Yeah, and then we'll apply this two more times.
It was just that the point
was made that he hadn't noticed that phrase initially, and that this is the first time he's noticed the phrase. So it's not that we're redoing all the work again, but just that aspect of it should be taken into account, and I imagine it applies to all of us. Then page 26, Indigenous cultural expression of knowledge means any form tangible or intangible or combination thereof in which traditional culture and knowledge are embodied and passed between generations, tangible or intangible forms of creativity of these communities, but not limited to phonetic. You know something, I just recall reading those phrases, and it's another replication, because I just remember the phonetic, etc. Am I right?
I'm speaking out of my chair. Page 8, Madam Chair, the very same definition. Page 8 of the book.
Now, normally I would read it
out, but it has been read out. All right? But I just go quite slowly there so that you pick up something again. Indigenous work. The bottom of the page was also tackled. Right, page 27. Page 28. Oh, because I was looking for a hand this time, yeah.
Thing, but just for example, you can tell me what a sonogram is.
Could be before your time, I imagine.
And seriously, wasn't it the one with his master's voice with that big, and I'm not sure if we've, is that archival now? But the one with that big ear, I mean, I saw one in a museum, and not that I was born at the time of the phonograph, but when it came out. Yes, what's the relevance of keeping it in here now? Because perhaps you could just indicate DTI.
No, thanks. The
room and is there sound? Is there sound? Recording of that sound. The relevance, I think, is that when say a recording company wants to reduce this song into a sound, it fixes it, say in a CD. So the recording company will own copyright of that recording. It's a phonogram. And then the performer will hold the performance, and then the broadcaster will hold the broadcasting part of it, and three rights actually. So a recording company owns the phonogram, the performer owns the performance part of it, and then put it to one. So
find it here. I know we've taken the word, but just where is it on page 26? That's all. I mean, what page are you referring to? Are you referring to page 9, the bottom of the page, where it says phonogram in black there?
Yeah, sorry, I meant an
that says an excludes any presentation by the operation of a loudspeaker, but excluding such performance by the use of a phonogram, a radio, or television broadcast. So I think that's where it picks up from. I'm not sure if it appears anywhere else, the word phonogram, per se. Alright. So, perhaps we can just flag that for the moment. Alright, we move on. We have just flagged it. And we're moving on now to page 27. Page 28. Copyright in traditional works, chapter 2A. The application thereof. Is this not a similar one? Page 29, I'm asking the advocate, number 2. I recall reading this section. Same thing. Yes. All right. Page 29. Page 30. Page 31. Oh, that's what I may have meant, yeah. And then I noticed that on my own notes here, while Advocate Quetta was talking, I marked as very important page 32, the 9 and 10. Perhaps it was simply the emphasis that had been put on there by the Advocate. Of the council, etc., intellectual property rights coming there under, etc. But that was coming immediately after if there. All right. Yes, this is a maybe right. Page 33. Page 34. We then have ownership of copyright. The nature of page 35, the nature of copyright in traditional works. 27. Page 38, the acquisition of rights here, page 42. I think if I just get a little reminder. Oh, let me first take this, Honorable Albert.
Madam Chair, I received an email from Parliament regarding a new act that's going to be introduced, a new bill by the Minister of Water Affairs, and I'm just trying to find it. I'm just trying to refer to one of the areas that they will address in this bill, because it talks to what we are doing. It says here, the bill will also allow DEA to keep all money arising from bioprospecting agreements in a separate fund for the benefit of communities and to provide negative penalties, which means that they will also have a fund now. So now I just want to make you aware of this. This is a new development, and it seems that there might be various funds out there from different departments, and at some point government must just try and coordinate between, because I know DST will also have some sort of fund available from what I hear. So I'm just trying to make you aware of this.
No, it was noting, you know, that there are these funds coming up. But I think, Uncle Vandermeer, you raised the issue some time ago on the DST situation, and technology as well, some of the legislation, either, or building, perhaps, or even in cost. So I do think that something that both DTI and the advocates should just keep a weather eye on, and keep us brief there, but thank you very much. What I want to just raise with yourself, Honourable Van der Merwe, you know, we already had this whole point about the reputation that you noted in an earlier meeting. get it from yourself, perhaps even from the advocates, yet again, the purpose of having the reputation all the time is for what purpose?
The reason for reputation is because four different acts are being enacted. So what we are trying to do is to treat Indigenous knowledge as far as possible the same in each separate principal act, whilst acknowledging that some forms of it will be in the form of a performance, some forms will be in the form of a literary or artistic or versions of the work or copyright, some will be trademark related and some will be design related. So the replication is simply so that the systems work as much as possible the same in each IP area.
Just those who perhaps may not have been here at the time, so that's the reason we get this replication, etc. Okay. Page 43, page 44. We have the red here again, assignment and licenses, which have come up. And I'm just looking, I know that you are as well on the Bill Vandenberg, just to see whether this was flagged or not. I know there was much discussion on it at an earlier time. Disputes. Well, we have agreed that disputes and dispute resolutions, we will be dealing with that at 5 o'clock. Do you remember? We indicated that. Page 45. Appointments to the council, is it? Page 45. Is that right? No, this is the legal representative issue here, which has been referred to yet again, that the subject prevents you. However, it isn't a court of law, and therefore the approach is rather to use it as a, really, it is a conciliation, a tribunal of sorts, before getting and attempting to resolve it in that sense. So, page 46. Remember the issue we spoke about, the gazetting, etc. It's also noted here in the middle of the page. Before appointing any person, the minister shall, by notice in the government gazette and by any and any other widely circulated means of communication, call for nominees and state the criteria for such nominations, etc. Okay. We then move on to, and then we also discuss the issue on point 5. About consultation. Should we include the must or not? We agree we would have must. Page 47.
I still have a problem with must. And the reason I have a problem with must is that in a court, it doesn't say there's any discretion. So in appointing a council, the minister must consult the minister's responsible. My own view, cooperative government. For that anyway. In a constitution, ministers are forced to cooperate with their colleagues. The second thing is organize local government. Well, fair enough, maybe. Traditional leaders and traditional, the council of traditional leaders definitely should be consulted. But when you get to academia and the legal profession, you know, who is academia? And how do you consult academia? And so the suggestion came from one of the drafters that we would perhaps need to identify more specifically which ones must be consulted and others that may be consulted. So I'd just like to put that for consideration. Because if I were the minister and I must consult academia, I don't know where I would start, you know. And certainly if some academia didn't like what I've done, they could contest it in terms of the law. So I think we must be careful about forcing the minister to consult in such broad brush strokes.
And the point is, at the time, in all fairness, we hadn't discussed all the other issues. It was purely this issue of consultation and must and may, if I recall from my notes. we haven't really gone down the street of a long list of who should be consulted. So let's first just decide on where the use of must. That's the first thing. After that, let's look at the list. Points being put forward here that cooperative governance, which is within the Constitution itself, already called for and implies that this should be done. There isn't a choice. It's a government of cooperative governance, say I'll put it that way. Honourable Kamala.
Jefferson, I think we must just change the word must to may. And it should solve everything, because if you talk about academia, you can look at all those professions that are there, and you other people or other organizations could also say that they are more than one in various way or another. And I think my I would like to agree with that we use the word may.
What they to start with, this is why I'm smiling. You know, I suppose it may have been very late at night. To actually one day to start with, and then we asked for it to be changed. It doesn't mean to say maybe we shouldn't do it again. We have that liberty all the time. And I think, in fact, our legal advisors also of the opinion that May was quite all right at the time, you know, but we were arguing for something stronger, if you recall. Yes, Advocate Stradon.
Please, Madam Chair, we've expressed reservations as far as the word must is concerned. Well, my Advocate Solomon has very clearly indicated on a previous occasion that the correct difference between May and must, the one being discretionary, the other one being peremptory. That is, I agree, it's indeed the case. But then, if an Act of Parliament says that a minister may do certain things, and you read it within the context of the whole bill, then the minister cannot say, with all due respect, that this, because the word may is there, I need not do anything. There are specific reasons why Parliament has deemed it necessary to put those provisions there, and the minister must give cognizance to those. So I agree that the difference is there, but within this context, if it says may, and based on no argument of cooperative government, the minister would in fact be obliged to do the necessary. But let us not make it so cumbersome or virtually impossible for the minister, as you have put it out, the Honourable Ms. Hanama. And rather consider to going back to the word may. If I think why we were requested to consider the possibility of the word must was because this bill relates so much to indigenous communities. In the context of the national councils and leaders. If we have a look at page 47, right at the top, an association of traditional healers, and then the council of traditional leaders. I think the sentiment was expressed that we would like the minister to consult those. But I think that is more or less the crux of the argument. If we can possibly consider to refer to the word may, and if the committee would on the policy side think that the minister should be obliged to consult the council of traditional leaders, we can simply distinguish and say in that case the minister must do so if it is indeed necessary.
All right, so I'm just looking at hands, and I know it's that time of the day, but we agree now we will retain May. Just looking for really strong objections now, and everyone seems happy, their heads are down. Right. So the next thing, and I don't mean anyone taking us back 5 pages later. The next point are that is the list. Do we think the whole thing should be here? I think the legal advisor has said to us that it may be wise, in his view of it, there's an order here. It gives a broad accounting for this May consult, and we've listed them. But one I think you we spoke about the council of traditional leaders and the council and this sort of thing. Just re-emphasize that because you made the distinction there between the two. Leave them all in with one approach or put together one.
Madam Chair, the one possibility would be simply to revert back to the word may, which would, to some extent, in any event, oblige the minister to do the necessary consultation with all. But without having those mandatory boundaries within which it should be done. But if the Honourable Committee would feel that there might be a need, because of the subject matter that we're dealing with here and how it relates to the Indigenous communities, that maybe the Council of Traditional Leaders that we find in D at the top of page 47, that maybe in that case that should be must. That is not what I'm suggesting, but I think that is another possibility.
So that's the only reservation being raised by the advocates at this point. Honourable Smaller?
Yes, Chair. Maybe the advocate can maybe assist me with, if I read page 47, B2, the two people that must be taken up in this council, does that refer to G 5G? Is that 5G? The organised commons and industry, are all those things referring to G? Because I would think if you would say the minister must co-opt people with extensive knowledge in a certain industry, that you would consult that actual people in that industry, that you would actually list that as a point, or maybe it falls under one of the other A2H.
All right.
I want to know
the first instance just to clear the decks, as it were, with the Council of Traditional Leaders issue there. Okay. And I mean, we just want to move on that. We've already settled on May with the one reservation that perhaps there must be something stronger here with the one. All right. Okay, first take Honourable Salah before yourself, Honourable Van der Merwe, coming in.
I do not believe that we should attempt by any means to try and treat these categories differently. All of these people identified here, or these institutions or organizations or committees, whatever you want to call them, are very important and key. And the word may here is mainly to ensure that we do not say to the minister, you must consult these people in such a manner that you must agree with them. You may consult with them, then you may not, you may in the context of the environment within which you are dealing with, find that some of them may not be of base to that culture. Depending on what you are dealing with, what are your studies around the environment, you want to establish this culture. You may not have to include each of them, representative from each of them, into that culture. But having consulted with them is sufficient. Right.
Honourable Vandermeer.
Thank you. I agree with my colleague that we must have May and we must list all of them. Because it's really a guide then for the minister. These are the people we want you to consult when you're making up your mind. And if you look at 6B, 1, 2, and 3, he's got to anyway have at least two people with traditional cultures and values, experience, expertise, with artistic, literary, musical works, performing arts, experience and expertise, and extensive knowledge of the law. So we couldn't really separate the map because he's directed by other clauses as well to what he must do. And I think the may with the list is sufficiently guiding for us to move forward.
I think it is a good guide.
I do think that we have got not a sufficient guide here at the moment. Because really trying to give the minister some form of guidance, and then before actually insisting that at least two persons from each and the other area should be there. just to the bottom there, the seven meetings, etc., etc., and shall consist of the half of the appointed members plus one. There was only one thing that had come up there in previous meetings, and that was simply the, which I'm sure we dealt with, was when some of these councils somehow just don't meet, etc., and how they are, how that matter is addressed, so that we don't tolerate dysfunctional structures. And I don't know if I'm speaking more to you, Honourable Matt America, if that was dealt with at the time we spoke about ensuring or trying as far as possible to ensure that, you know, we have covered in some way the prevention of dysfunctional councils when they didn't meet. So you've got, you shall have at least seven meetings per year, and the quorum, etc., etc. And then somewhere here, without reading the whole thing, would we have a situation that if they didn't meet, I see coming onto the grounds of mismanagement or whatever, the minister would have the authority at the bottom of the page in dissolving the council in terms of subsection 11, non-performance, you see, is listed there, am I correct? And this would govern the fact that they wouldn't be meeting. I'm just clearing that because we've had just too many of these structures having that challenge in the last 3 years. Thank you.
Yeah, see, I think on page 48, 11 and 12, they deal with that. You know, for non-performance, misconduct that undermines integrity, you know, mismanagement, self-performance functions. I think that covers all of it. That's where he is able to resolve the conflict.
Page 50, point about performance rights, copyright, trademarks, designs, and patents. Then we have compliance with the international agreement. Now, they have already, I don't think there's anything that we would disagree with there. We do need to get that agreed to. 51, 52, page 53, page 54, page 54, guidelines, page 55, page 56. I just want to stop there for a moment because I had requested that the committee secretary return this oversight report, the two pages to us, for the party's insertion. You may remember this morning I indicated they're going to be needing an hour to just complete that report while we're in the house. So I want to, have we got it? Right. Then you'll go straight to it. The only aspect we're dealing with, no? We're going to adjourn on the IP for the moment until we return this afternoon, because
we've agreed to everything.
And you will recall that we're on the bottom of page 56. Hang on. Page 55. Trademarks, that's 7, the top of the page. That's where we'll start when we return after the half. Okay? So then we're going to just briefly move, as indicated, for admin purposes, so that we can process this oversight report later this evening. We had asked people, on the oversight report, we had asked people to please send in their input for conclusions and recommendations, because that was what we didn't have to study. Do you recall that? Now, I'd like you to look at it clearly. I'm not going backwards and backwards on this. We've had it now for more than a month. And I want us first to tackle the matter before we put it into semantic version, etc. Let's just look at the issue. Just the issue. The committee noted that the National Consumer Commission does not have sufficient funding to fulfill its mandate. 10.2. A concern for the committee was the slow rate of answering calls by the CRPC's call centre and the infrastructural constraints that exist in addressing these shortcomings. 10.3. Due to the insufficient information provided, the committee was not able to conclude or make an informed assessment regarding the steel price. No, that's not how I think this is. Was referring specifically to ArcelorMittal. All right. This was just during comments we made at the previous meeting. Okay. Going to say, I know that we were asking for ArcelorMittal information. 10.4. The committee recognized the potential labor constraints with the aging workforce within the mining steel industry and the need to address this through appropriate skills development programs to attract youth to the industry. The committee was impressed with the success rate of Anglo, the merely small hub, business hub. The committee expressed a view that CEDA and other DFIs should engage with Anglo, the merely small business hub, to investigate its model of small business development in order to determine the feasibility of rolling this out at a larger scale to improve SME survival rate. I think we ought to talk about sustainability rather. A concern, 10.6, for the committee was the poor attendance of communities at the public meetings and that this should be addressed through appropriate communication strategies. That was to do more with the committee itself and Parliament, if you recall. You know, our communication or lack of or whatever. And then we had further inputs being made by our parties when those matters were raised last week. And some of them, I was told, there were some from the DA. I'm not sure if they're here. And I'm looking at under recommendations, all right. Adequate resources, this is the next page, 26, including core capacities, must accompany planned legislation so that when it was adopted by Parliament, the implementation of strategic objectives was not impeded in any way. Now, that is actually related to Kumba and to, of course, the CRPC. You'll recall that in, not Kumba, sorry, NCC, I've got Kumba on the brain, the National Consumer one, the NCC, that particular one there, what we're saying about it is that it was quite clear that the funding, the legislation was committed, you know, I think the department knew that it would be rolled out this year. And the funding, the resources, financial resources required did not appear to be adequate for its establishment. We didn't go around anything else. And hence, it also relates to the CRPC, but they did indicate that funding was not the problem per se. One, as indicated in this report, a number of challenges were identified and that consequently regular bi-monthly report backs to the committee should commence mid-September. Given the objectives of the work of the NCC, the projected allocation was, and this is the kind of rejigged one there, the committee intends engaging the NCC during its budget review recommendation report's final process phase. Two, the committee has been pursuing vigorous oversight of the challenges posed by the current structure of the steel price and its impact on manufacturing, which has been identified as a key component to grow the economy and create jobs. Taking into account import parity principles, it is clear on the information received from Arthur Little, South Africa, that the steel price remains distorted and does not take into account the low iron ore price, which is a major input. However, their decision, albeit late, to introduce a horizontal and vertical strategic skills training program is to be commended. 3. The critical economic principle of adding value to the country's primary mineral resources has finally been taken seriously by Kumba Iron Ore, which has begun to do this with a decision to manufacture pellets with magnetite iron ore in the Limpopo province. Actually, I was referring to the process there at, in, where did we go? Northern Cape. You may recall some of the workshops there, and we saw the old heaps of earlier processed iron ore, and they then were developing a further processing which would extract some mineral out of it. Who visited the, we all went up and down and saw their new offices and that process, and they indicated the extraction process would be by the utilization of magnets. No, the jig was water. This was the further processing of the iron ore, so that they wouldn't be sending all of it outside the country and shipping it raw, as it were. And by doing it in this way, they were now going to be adding, I don't know how many extra rand to the process of now shipping out that ore. So what I suggest we do, this is why I actually said, Margot, that new process using magnets. I had an 8 o'clock meeting, so I'll look it up myself and put it in. How many went on that walkabout with their eyes closed? Well, your eyes weren't closed, because you recorded, but others were closed, were they? Didn't you? Wasn't that explained to you in detail then? All right, we were perhaps more fortunate because we asked what was happening down below, and then they explained that this was the reference they were making to how they would now, were now going to be adding value. And instead of shipping out X tonnage in the earlier primary rule stage, they would now be shipping out this improved, the value. Now don't worry, I'll look it up myself, my eyes weren't closed. I'll look it up myself and put it in, because this is something, these are points that we have raised on and off in the, thank you, Advocate Quetta. We're coming back at half past four. Yes. And you needn't bow to me, that's only to the speaker. I'm not in that elevated position yet. Okay. Can we just leave it? These are the points that were discussed by the AMC, and certainly point one and two, and the three is a point that part of this was raised by the AMC, the training department, etc., and I have personally added this issue of the magnets, but I don't recall the Limpopo problems, but it's in the book. Then the committee also held a public meeting. The recommendations, given the committee's deliberations, it recommends that the DTI and the CIPC should appear before the committee in the final quarter. That's not the final quarter. September. The third quarter of 2011, and report on how the following issues have been or will be resolved. The capacity in the call centre, processing of registrations, vacancies at CRPC, problems associated with their IT system, particularly the ECM system, progress on the 18-month turnaround strategy. Late, the DTI and NCC should appear before the committee in the final quarter of 2011 to report on how the following issues have been or will be resolved. Do we mean the last quarter now? You know, that final quarter is December, January. It's the third quarter. Yeah. Late payment of supplies by the DTI, finalization of the NCC website, delivery of the handover plan, delivery. Tell me, has DTI got this? I think it would be useful to have it. I mean, we haven't got adopted the oversight, but it's just useful. The finalization of the NCC website, delivery of the handover plan, delivery of the implementation plan, major budget constraints, resolving issues with office space. 12.3, Cooler Enterprise Finance, the South African micro, etc., in the IDC should appear before the committee to provide a briefing on their merger, as well as the interim. Cooler Enterprise Finance, all right, and the South African Micro Apex Fund on their merger as well as the interim arrangement ahead of the merger, particularly given the recent launch of Cooler Direct. They should also brief the committee on the development of a post-merger business strategy. You know why I'm just looking at this with a quandary? It's because I thought that almost all of the mandate fell under EDD. Am I correct here, you know, and therefore it can't be a recommendation directly. I know it's related to the IPAC, but should it not be in the conclusion? This is the question I'm just raising. Honourable Harris?
This flows from the meeting we had with CUDA when it was quite obvious that despite the President's commitment that these three entities would merge, they hadn't been operating with that in mind. And I think the committee was alarmed that Cooler, which is under our oversight, as far as I understand it, isn't it? Well, what I would suggest then is we still have this meeting. Perhaps it isn't in this report, but certainly flowing from the meeting that we had there, there's a problem with Cooler and this potential merger. And whether we do that with the EDD committee or something else, someone needs to take a look at it.
Your point is correct. It's just how we would process it. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because of the mandate.
Sure.
We brought them in purely on the IPAC issue, you know, development finance, etc., purely related directly there. And I think under the conclusion, we could indicate that we noted this. And that no doubt the economic development committee will be looking at that particular issue itself. But I do think that this committee should also send a copy of our oversight report to them, notwithstanding that it is actually tabled in the House itself. But I don't think we can take it forward directly as a recommendation. We can note it and the challenges that it poses, because we did identify that challenge. You're quite correct. The enterprise organization appears before the committee to present a detailed overview of all their incentives. That's KO, isn't it? Yes, that's right. And I think that's really come up quite a lot with the incentives all the time. Years, months since implementation. Number of projects approved by province. Value of projects approved. Total cost to fiscus. Number of direct jobs created. Cost per job. Oh, quite a comprehensive requirement. But I think we need it. Was it you, Honourable Mandanova, that indicated the relationship of jobs and incentives? I think, and therefore, if this is related directly to jobs, we have really got to do something about it. and it has been lying around like a Cinderella for some time. So I think that they have been had fresh air breathed into them by a South DDG, but maybe another tank of oxygen, and maybe the report will do that. Okay, the report to be considered. Now, I've given you this because you know what? This is what you didn't have. You had the old section, and we do want to get this out the way. All right? Yes, Honourable Van der Burma?
Chair, I just think that we need to systemize this document a little bit more. Under concluding remarks 10.1, 10.6, in some respects, duplicate the issues on the other page. So they should be combined. But the further remark that I would like to make is that I think we should have heading because it doesn't flow nicely. So the concluding remark 10.1, the first paragraph on the second page 26, should come under NCC, and then there should be a little heading like that, but just so that we know what we're concluding on each matter. And then I don't disagree with the recommendation, but my recollection of that magnet story that you were talking about, the iron ore, was that they were manufacturing pellets, but they were not of sufficiently high quality for export or for use in certain areas that could be used in other areas because it wasn't, they hadn't got to a such a high degree of competence in that regard yet whether they could export them or use them in every field.
Yes. As we were there, so you're quite right about that, but I'm saying there's some recognition finally, you know, after years that they would pursue this. Just in response to that first one, and then Honourable Salah will come in, I think what the team has done up here is really just to capture it as a pain, and that's why they need this hour to fine-tune it and to actually rejig it into, as you put it quite, a structured shape and the established cohesion. Honourable Salah, followed by Honourable Smala.
I'm not sure how we capture issues of technology which is there, because we moved around, we saw two kinds of operations. The one operation is where they were putting stones into the machine, and as the machine goes through the belt is able to weigh its stones and separate them. The stones that have got ore are heavier than the stones without ore, and they will automatically move into different directions. Very interesting technology. And the other one is the one where now the smaller stones of the remains, they can be able to through magnet detect the stones that have got iron ore on them. I don't see it captured anywhere here, and what time we think it has less important than what?
I mentioned the jigging technology, which I suppose is that part of that. And the point that was made there by someone, was it yourself, Arnold Smaller, who said that someone said, well, this, what about IP? Have you patented this? And I think we ought to raise this issue as a recommendation, as a very strong recommendation. Right before our eyes, we saw something not being patented. Arnold Smaller, was it yourself?
Yes, Jim. And I still would like to see patent and being concluded in a trust somehow, one way or another. Just to come back to the concluding, remarks, Jay. I don't understand why we don't refer, especially if we look at your 10.4 remark there, the concluding remarks, why don't we refer to Arch Metal and to the actual Kumba, because that's now we're referring to the mining and the steel. And if I recall, it was the aging factor wasn't at both sites. It was only at ArcelorMittal. And now when I read this, it would want to generalize, and I might refer that to Kumba as well. I want to put that in, you know, under the same umbrella, and it's not the case. And it was specifically on Arch Mitchell. And I just would like just to get back to some out of the way.
I raised my eyebrows a bit there because it was specifically on that where we were told they were all approaching 60 or 45 and 50. Yes.
I forgot another area of operation which where the big stone is buried and the dust is separated from steel. That big steel falls into there and start moving into the belt and getting safer and elongated
and
ends up there as a rock from a big steel like that to a level of a deep diamond. But those operations, I think this was mentioned. Because that bend in from IMO to that process.
Only all they're doing is producing steel, you see. It's all just, you know, on Wotsala, if you recall, we have the problem that we're not getting the kind of steel we want for the vehicle industry.
Yeah.
And then they said that those processes couldn't handle it or something. They needed to put in other processes. Because those processes we saw have been there, I'd imagine, since some people first started there at 18 and now they're 65. You know, the machinery is falling apart, and later I think the newspaper reports that they've come to a crash, a couple of them. Yeah.
Yes, sir, without making dialogue with you, all I'm saying is that from the IMO, we are able to act there so far. We still need to do more, but at least we are able to, instead of getting iron ore and selling it as it is, while we are doing beneficiation, we are able to beneficiate it to the level of steel. We can then still go on to add value to the steel to be able to manufacture. What I know is that they used to do it in Cisco, but at that time I was not coming from the same angle that I come from.
Both of us draft a little bit on it, but what I am saying, Honourable Sir, I'll just draft it during the House sitting, but the whole issue, we mustn't forget that plant was Eskor and was totally subsidised by a government startup to do just that, to produce steel. The problem we were having now is that notwithstanding they got this low iron ore price, we are now, as a country, as a manufacturing industry, not appearing to benefit from that. That's what we are saying at this point in time. I think that's the challenge we are facing. And how can we really try and do that? And unfortunately, we still don't have sufficient information, no matter how hard we have tried to get. That's the reality. Now, as we close off in the next 5 minutes, Honourable Smala.
Please, just one positive thing also from their side, from Arch Metal, was also the environmental dust collector, which was also the first thing that would take off, I think, 500 tons or 5 megatons or some sort of dust particular, because it was only getting into operational or it was being operational when we got there. It was still in a testing run in that. So it's there, a positive side, you know, that I thought about it. So just to maybe put that on the table as a positive and not only on the negative.
I have a little bit of character. So what we do, Ms. Herling, just on that, or Mr. Herman, is just capture that, the environmental, you know, the positive changes they've made or moves they've made in that direction, all right. And they did indicate that they were using it for roads, to build roads or contribute to this road development, etc. So I think that can also help with the roads being pollution, have to drive down and also utilize it. There goes the first little bell. I think it's for us. we have the time, we're going to be dealing with the IP first, you'll be happy to know, but only if the experts are right here as we come in. Otherwise, we'll start on the oversight. So we'll certainly be looking at your direction on the organization, just for the green light, please. Right, thank you very much, members. Yes, well, not the actual handbag, not the but where are the keys to the door? I can't we go down to Portrait and ask them, Vito? Yes, thank you, Vito. Yes, Mr. Concierge. Look here, thank you very, very much. And then can we adjourn at the moment and go to the house and come back? No later. We want to start at 4:30, please. 4:30. Thank you.
Thank you.